done. Beautifully done. Exodus chapter 6 this morning. Exodus chapter number 6. I'm going to be backing up into chapter 5 to get our title for our message, but I'm preaching on chapter 6, verse 1 down through verse number 13. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 down through verse 13. We're studying through this book together, and we've come to this chapter. Exodus chapter 6, but I want you to back up to chapter 5. We'll begin our reading in verse number 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Notice closely verse number 22. Moses goes to the Lord in prayer, and he says, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? I want to preach to you this morning on this subject. When all you can do is ask why. When all you can do is ask why. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, forgive my sin. If there is anything in my life that hinders you, forgive me, remove it, and get it out. I pray that you help me to be a clean vessel. I pray that as I preach the Word of God, that the God of the Word will be the preacher this morning. Empty me of myself, wipe me clean of myself, fill me and overflow me with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Help people to see you, to hear you. And may we truly get help today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our progress through Exodus, we've come to this portion of Scripture that everybody here either needs now, or if the Lord tarries His coming and gives you life, you will need one day. It hinges around the thought of when all you can do is ask why. When life gets so bad that you find yourself questioning God Himself. Moses has been on a journey in the will of God, I remind you, that seems to be like a roller coaster ride. He was protected as a baby from death. He's fled from Egypt in fear for his life. I'm talking about as we approach chapter 6. He ended up in Midian where he spent 40 years of his life. It was there where Moses saw the burning bush from which God Almighty Himself spoke to him. The Lord told him to go back to Egypt to set the Israelites free from bondage. Moses has made excuses, but the Lord stripped him of all of his excuses until he came to the point of surrender to the will of God for his life. Moses and Aaron arrived in Egypt in response to the will of God for their lives. They have God's authority and God's marching orders, and they march right into Pharaoh's presence to ask him to let the Israelites go free. Pharaoh did not respond right. Matter of fact, instead of letting them go, he increased their burdens and had their officers beaten. The officers went to Pharaoh to ask for mercy, but were not given any at all. Moses and Aaron were waiting on these officers who went into Pharaoh to see how they would fare in their meeting with Pharaoh. And when these officers were rejected, they turned their attack on Moses and Aaron, that the Bible says was standing there when they came out. And the officers accused Moses and accused Aaron of being the reason that they were being so badly mistreated. They even said that Moses and Aaron had taken a sword and put it into the hands of the Egyptians to kill them. It was at this point, get it in mind now, you're going to lose me if you don't understand the main thought here. Get in mind that Moses is simply doing what God told him to do. He's in Egypt because God told him to go. He's in Pharaoh's office because God told him to go there. He's told him to announce freedom, and he's done that. He's living in the will of God. And for some reason, Moses had his own thoughts, his own thoughts about how life should have gone at this time. But instead of life getting better, life got worse. So important that we understand this. Moses is distraught and discouraged. He's obeying God, but finds himself under the attack of God's own people. And to the point that he went to God in verse number 22 in chapter 5, and he simply says, God, why? Why? It didn't make any sense to him. He thought the Lord was on his own timetable, you see, and he tried to put God in a box, and things weren't going according to his own plan. Now get the picture. Moses is only doing what God told him to do. He's living in subjection to the will of God. He's not in Egypt by his own choice, but by the will of God. Yet instead of things getting better, they grew worse and worse. Life was not making sense. Life had thrown a curveball to Moses. He's at the end of his rope. His plans were shattered and laying at his feet. All hope, humanly speaking, was gone. And he's so discouraged that all he can think is, Lord, why? Why is this happening? Why did you send me here? Why? You ever been there? You ever had your plans and suddenly they shattered at your feet? And they're laying at your feet in ashes? Has life ever thrown a curveball to you? Have you ever been so discouraged and distraught that all you find yourself doing is asking, why? If you find yourself there, can I give you some encouraging news? You're not alone. Moses was there at this point in his life. And most, if not all, will find ourselves there in time. However, as we end chapter 5, and Moses is so discouraged, he's so distraught, he's so depressed, he's going to God and questioning God, saying, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why, Lord? I'm glad the story doesn't stop with chapter 5. We move now into chapter 6. I'm telling you that when you find yourself asking why, there are three things in the opening 13 verses of chapter 6 to keep in mind. Here we go now. If you don't need this morning, you better remember it, because there's coming a day more than likely you will need it. Number one. When life throws a curveball and all you can do is say, Lord, why? Number one, listen to God's word. We see this in the opening 8 verses of chapter 6. Notice this. How's the 6th chapter start? What's the first word? Then. Question, when was then? When Moses was at his wit's end. When Moses was at the end of his rope, when Moses had reached what we call rock bottom, and there was nowhere else to turn, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it for an heritage. I am the Lord. Now you say, Jody, what's the point? One person put it this way. The best framework for the Lord God to do his most ideal work is when things are absolutely impossible and we feel totally unqualified to handle it. That's his favorite circumstance. Those are his ideal working conditions. See, as soon as Moses is at his wits' end, he doesn't know what to think. He's asking why. His world is crumbling around him. The Lord began to speak to him. And notice the Bible says, then the Lord spoke. In other words, when his own plans and dreams had crumbled at his feet, when Moses' life made no sense to him, when Moses could only ask why, then God spoke to him. One person put it this way, how often does God allow us to get to the end of our own selves? Then, when hope is gone, and when the arm of the flesh has utterly collapsed, God steps to the rescue. Concerning the Lord saying, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. In other words, he said, now shalt thou see. Miss Lashley put it this way, and I quote, only when this is complete and we have drunk the dregs of the bitter cup of despair and of self does God step in, saying in effect, now, child, stand aside. Now that you're where you ought to be, I will begin to act. See, the Lord stepped in with his own word when Moses was asking the question why. Matter of fact, when we listen to what he said, we can break it down into three major sections. It's all under thought number one. Listen to God's word. There's three major things he said. Number one under this, he said, I am. We see this in verses 2 and 3. Notice where he says, and he said, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Verse number 6, I am the Lord. Verse number 8, I am the Lord. First thing Moses heard during his time of despair. First thing Moses heard from the word of God during his time of questioning God. He heard the words, I am. Let me tell you this, my friends. One of the things right here that is so encouraging to us is that God came to him to remind Moses of just who he is. In other words, he said, I'm the Lord. He went on to say this. He said, I appeared to Abraham, I appeared to Isaac, I appeared to Jacob by my name, God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, I was not known to them by this name. Now, we realize that they knew about the name, because that's given in Genesis. They knew the name, but they hadn't literally seen what Jehovah God can do. In other words, Jehovah God is the self-existent, eternal, unchangeable, ever-dependable, covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. He will do what he said he will do. In other words, he's saying, while Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they heard my promise. Moses, you will see my promise come to fruition. I am the Lord. The Lord is telling Moses here when he says from his own word, now you're where I can work. Now you will give me glory. Now you will see my power. And I want to tell you the first thing you need to do when you start asking why, Moses, get your eyes off the circumstance and turn your eyes on Jehovah God. He is doing well. He is not taken by surprise. And he still has power to keep his word, even if it looks bleak, even if it looks dark, even if it looks dim. God's promises will still come to fruition because he said, I am the Lord. One man put it this way. He was a preacher. He was telling a story about a couple he was counseling. He says this, and I quote, he said, I remember sitting with this lady at our kitchen table, spending time with a couple who were absolutely broken. Both were in tears and they just unloaded their hearts before us that night. These two had reached the end of their strength, the end of their answers. The woman looked across the table and said, what do you say to people who come to you and just don't know where to turn? He said, I told her it's not an easy answer, but I'll tell you one thing I try to do. I try to remind them of who's in charge of their lives. I try to remind them that God is the one who calls the shots. He's in control. No matter how it appears, the situation is never out of control. He is the Lord. He went on to say that really helped her just to know she wasn't the one who had to piece together a massive puzzle with no matching parts. She needed to quit looking at that impossible tangle for a while and spend some time looking at the Lord. He knows how it all fits, even in those moments when we can't imagine how it could ever come together. Boy, I think that preacher had it right there, friends. Miss Lashley put it this way, and I like that. She said this is everlasting blessedness.
when the heart can find its sweet relief in God Himself. The character of God is the perfect answer to despair and distrust. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We're looking at this when all you can do is ask why. Why? Number one, listen to God's word. And as you hear what God said to Moses, the first thing He said is, I am. Moses, get your eyes off of that. Put your eyes on Me. Secondly, He said, I have. We see this in verses 4 and 5. He says, I have also established My covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrims, wherein they were strangers. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. I have remembered My covenant. Now, what's this mean? The second thing we hear the Lord speak to Moses concerns what He had already done. He reminded Moses how He had established His covenant with the Israelites to give them the land of Canaan. He had heard their groaning, and He had remembered His covenant. In other words, the Lord reminded Moses during his time of current, present doubt, during his time where right now he's asking why, God reminded Moses of what He had already done. What's the point here? It's interesting that God was pointing Moses back to the promises that He had already made and His current care for His people. Here's what I'm saying to you. One of the greatest things you can do when you begin to ask why, when you find yourself asking God, why God? Now listen, if you've never asked God why, God bless you. May the Lord be with you. And may I be like you when I grow up. I'm telling you, it's the flesh. Anytime the flesh has something hit it, or whatever it may be, it naturally, why? And when you catch yourself doing that, something's, a curveball's been thrown to you. Your life is crumbled at your feet. You think it's all over. I mean, you've hit rock bottom. There's nowhere to turn. There's a puzzle in front of you, but the pieces don't even match. What do? You listen to God's word. And you're reminded of who He is and get your eyes on Him. You listen to God's word and He reminds you that the God who's been so good in the past has not changed. That what He has done, He will continue to do in your life. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel 12, 24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Not that He's doing, but consider what He's already done. Let me ask you a question. Has God been good to you, friends? I'm talking about in the past. Has He taken care of you? I mean, has He been there for you? Hey, when trouble comes and you start asking why, ask God to speak to your heart and remember what He did in the past. He said, I am. He said, I have. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What are we saying? Number one here, when you find yourself asking why? Why me, God? Why is this happening? What's going on? I don't understand. Listen to God's word and hear Him say, I am God. Listen to God's word and hear Him say, I have done these things. But also, He didn't just say, I am and I have. He said, I will. We see this in verses 6 through 8. Notice it here. There's seven of them. Wherefore, saying to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm with great judgments. I will take you to a people, take you to Me for a people. I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you in under the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. I call this a holy sandwich. You say, what do you mean? He opens his statement up in verse number 2, I am the Lord. And then he starts saying, I have, I will, I have, I will, I have, I will. By the way, I'm the Lord. A holy sandwich. I mean, he starts it, he puts the meat in it, and puts it back together and says, I am the one you can trust. I am the one that you can believe on. I am the one, no matter what life throws at you, I am, I have, I will. These I wills here, number one, he says, I'll bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I will rid you out of their bondage, number two. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm with great judgments, number three. I will take you to me for a people, number four. I will be to you a God, number five. I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, number six. I will give it you for inheritance. See, here's what I'm saying. The current appearance of things seem to contradict the promises of God. It didn't look like he was going to bring them out. He didn't look like he was going to keep his word. But you know what it's interesting here? Boy, God showed this to me. It's simple, but he showed this to me. When the promises of God were being doubted, when the promises of God were being distrusted, God kept giving his promises. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, what was being doubted? Moses said, why'd you even send me here? Why are you not stepping in? God had already told him, I will step in. I will take him down. I will deliver them. He already told him these things. Moses, in this current circumstance, his life has crumbled at his feet. He is distraught. He's distressed. He's depressed. Everything else. He's doubting God. He's questioning God. And God says, boy, I will still do what I said. What happens when life throws something like this at us? What's the first thing you start doubting? The promises of God. And it's interesting that when you go to his word, what's the one thing that gives you peace? The promises of God. What am I saying to you here? I'm saying even in doubt and despair, God's promises can be trusted. See, the bottom line is when all you can ask is why, go to the Word of God and be still. Listen to Him. He reminded Moses of who He is, what He did, and what He will do. His promises. Are you listening to me, friends? Listen to me now. Everything we have, spiritually speaking, hinges on the promises of God. The only way we know we're saved is because God promised that. The only way we know that there's a heaven is because God said there was. The only way we know we don't have to get saved all over again is because God says we don't. How do you know you're saved? Because God said so. And I'm telling you this morning that if you doubt the word and promises of God, you're going to have a miserable life. And every now and then, life is going to throw something at you like it threw at Moses. This life is not a bed of roses, friends. The devil will make sure that he puts something in your life to try to trip you up in your heart and mind and start getting you to do what Moses did. God, why? Why'd you allow that? Why'd you let that come in my life? Why? Do you realize that question has destroyed Christians' lives? If the devil can get you to focus on why, he's got you. He may not have your soul, but he'll take your influence. He'll destroy your testimony. There are people today, I don't have anybody in mind, I really don't. But there are people today, maybe even some who used to be here. I don't know that, so please don't think I've got something in mind, because I don't. But I'm just talking in general terms. In every church, typically, generally speaking, most churches, if not all churches, have people who used to be in the pews. They used to serve God. They used to do the right thing. They used to read the Bible, but now they don't want anything to do with the Bible. They don't want to go to church. They're out fishing right now instead of in the house of God, all because life threw them a curveball. And they refused to go to God and listen to His word. They instead said, I will not go to Him. I thought you loved me. Why would you let this happen? And they go to the grave, questioning God. I'm telling you, when you find yourself in that place, listen to God's word. Don't run from the Bible, run to it. And let Him speak. Preacher, put it this way. This is how we need to pray. Even when we feel as if we never want to pray again. You ever been in a situation where you're so, I mean, your heart's questioning or whatever, that you think to yourself, I'm going to pray one more time and I'm finished. I'm going to pray one more time, but I may never pray again. I'm telling you, friends, you can get to that point in your life. You really can. Here's what he said. Even if you get to that point, here's what you ought to pray. Lord, I don't feel like praying right now, but hear my prayer anyway, Lord. I will believe you, even though the tide is rising and I'm already on tiptoe. In other words, he's saying, even though you're trapped and the tide's getting up and it's getting so high on you that you're having to get up on your tippy toes like this. Because if you go down, it's going to drown you. Even though that the tide is rising and I'm already on tiptoe, I will believe you. Even though it seems like it's taking you forever to keep your promise, I will believe you. Even though I've come to the ragged end of my strength, the dregs of my hope, the broken shards of my plans, I will not look for a shortcut. I will not take a carnal option. I will not retreat from the battle. I will believe you. You know when the promises of God shine the brightest? When life is the darkest. That's a pretty good statement to take home with you right there, friends. Number one, when all you can do is ask why, listen to God's word. Number two, when all you can do is ask why, learn a valuable lesson. I wish I could tell you it got better for Moses. I wish I could, but I can't. Let me show you what happened. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. Now, who told him to go say this to the Israelites? God did. And the Bible says he spoke so. In other words, he gave it just like God told him to. Notice this. But they hearkened not unto Moses. For anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Now, ask the Lord to help this make sense, what I'm trying to get across here. Okay? When life throws you something that all you can do is ask why, listen to God's word. Let him encourage you with who he is, what he's done, what he's going to do. But number two, learn a valuable lesson. Moses had been questioning the Lord. He had asked why. However, the Lord spoke directly to him, encouraging him in his word. The Lord had directed Moses to himself and his promises. He told Moses to go and tell the Israelites about these promises. The great thing here is that Moses obeyed. You know what this tells me? More than likely, this means that the heart of Moses is a little encouraged here. God encouraged him. I mean, he's questioning God. Now he's not questioning anything. He's going and doing it. He's doing what he's told. The Bible says that Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. In other words, he gave the word of God to these people just like God told him. However, a lesson that we all need to learn comes out in this verse. The Bible says the people hearken not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. The people refuse to listen to Moses and the promises of God again. Their spirit was impatient. And their bondage was so cruel, and they wanted nothing to do with Moses. Here's what one person said. The warning is about the peril of letting our troubles so dominate us that we pay no attention to what God says. This is what the Israelites are doing. Now here's the lesson. You with me? Here it is now. Here's the lesson that's a valuable lesson to learn. When you catch yourself asking God why, and you go to God's word and you listen to him and he encourages your heart with who he is, what he's already done, what he's going to do. When God encourages your heart, that does not mean your circumstance will change. Now, I'm pausing here to let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to right there. I'm telling you that Moses got encouragement for himself. But it did not change the way the Israelites felt about him. May we learn this valuable lesson that when we are brought out of discouragement and doubt, the current situation may not get any better. Now, I know that's not encouraging, but that's truthful preaching. And I'm telling you this morning that if you go to God in prayer and he encourages you and he takes the why out of you, don't walk into your current circumstance blindfolded. Don't walk out of your meeting with God and think the whole world knows what just took place. And think that that sickness is now going to be stripped from you, that family crisis is now going to leave you, that's going to be a bed of roses, everybody's just going to fall right in line, and boy, your meeting with God has changed everything about your circumstance. Are you listening to me? Circumstances may never change. But the promises of God are enough to carry you through it no matter what happens. How many times have we heard our preacher right here? How many times have I heard this dear man of God say, sometimes God comes to a stump in our life and he may choose to remove it or just plow right around it and keep going. You know what we want? God, take that out of my life, please. I've got a thorn. Sound familiar? I've got a thorn, God, please remove it. In the great Apostle Paul's life, God said, my grace is sufficient for you, son. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. I hope the Holy Spirit's helping you see what I'm saying. That the lesson that is so valuable to learn is that some even get encouraged in God's word, but then when their situation stays the same, they go right back into distress, right back into despair, right back into doubt, right back questioning God. They will serve God as long as he meets their terms. But if life doesn't turn out the way they thought, they find themselves again. Why me, God? Friends, the promises of God can carry you through your circumstances whether they change or not. I'm looking at people today that I know in your heart that if you could change your circumstance, you would. But you can't. What am I saying? I'm saying those circumstances will either cause you to sink or they'll cause you to soar for the glory of God. It all depends on how you respond to his promises. I don't feel worthy to preach this. Matter of fact, it makes me a little nervous when I preach things like this because my life's doing great. My family's well. There's no sickness that I know of in our family. And as you look at this pastor, I'm spiritually on a mountaintop. But I know this. I know there's things that's hit my life that has taught me to trust God. I remember, I'm getting personal here with you, but I think it's good for you to have a pastor that gets personal with you some. I remember, this has been years ago when preacher was pastoring here. My wife, she's here. She may be feeding the baby, but anyway, she's in the building somewhere. She was expecting our second child at that time, and we were going with our teenagers to St. Louis. And I went on that trip. Becky stayed home. She was expecting the baby. She was really sick or whatever. I was 11 hours away from her. And we had a great service. That particular night, there was probably maybe 20 adults in the auditorium, maybe.
The kids were downstairs, the teenagers doing like a vacation Bible school, but I was doing a revival up in the auditorium. We had about 20 adults, and about a third of them, 7 or 8 people, came forward and got saved that night. It was a wonderful service. I mean, when a third of the congregation trusts Christ, that's a great service, friends. I was on cloud 9. Called my wife. 11 hours away from her. I said, honey, I just want to tell you, boy, we had a great service. And she began to weep a little bit, and she said, I prayed for you today. I prayed God would give you a great service. But she said, I want you to know I lost the baby today. I lost the baby. At that moment, my cloud 9 was burst. And I had went from a mountain to the bottom of the barrel. I wanted to crawl through the phone to get to my wife, to hug her and love on her, take care of her. I couldn't do it. I look back on that time and I think to myself, I wonder what happened when I was away. Oh, but God has taught us great lessons. See, what I didn't tell you is when she's weeping, she said, I want you to know, Jody, I lost the baby today. But she said, I feel like there's 10,000 angels in the room with me. She said, the presence of God is so real right now. What's the point? We've not always responded right. There are times that in my own heart, it doesn't stay there long, but there are times that I catch myself asking why. But I can honestly say that I look back at that time and I don't remember asking why. And I don't believe my wife did either. And through it, God came to visit her. While her husband couldn't get to her. You know what God taught me? She needs him a whole lot more than she needs me. Can I say this to you? We've had our trials. Nothing compared to what some of you precious people have gone through. I'd be embarrassed to try to associate myself with something that you've gone through. You know, as a pastor, you're privileged to go through things with people. And I'm trying to help you here this morning that just because God speaks doesn't mean the circumstance will change. Do you understand that? You need to see that. Because if you don't, you're going to live in despair. Let me give you a third thing. Listen to God's word. Learn a valuable lesson. Live by the commands of God. You say, what do you mean? It's interesting in verse number 10 down through verse number 13. I've already read this. Let me paraphrase what's going on. Moses, when we open the message, the latter part of chapter 5, he goes and he's questioning God. He's doubting God. He's disbelieving God. I mean, he's not living by strong faith. He's living by strong doubt. God, in his tender mercy, even when Moses came to him, great lesson there, even when you doubt, go to God. Go to him. And God began to speak to him and share with him who he is. I am, I am. Began to remind him of what he had already done. I have, I have. Told him what he will do. I will, I will, I will. Moses' heart's encouraged. He goes back with his heart just kind of bursting with new joy and new hope and fresh promises, if you will. And he goes back with his bubble that had been deflated. Now it's full again. And he walks into the Israelites thinking maybe again, boy, this is it. This is it. And he says, God said this. God told you this. And they basically say, get out of here. I want nothing to do with you. He's discouraged. Nothing's changed. And verse number 10 says, and the Lord spake to Moses and said, go and speak to Pharaoh that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. Moses spake before the Lord and said,
And I'm paraphrasing here. He said, the children of Israel are not listening to me. How's Pharaoh going to listen? And God said, I charge you. Speak to Pharaoh and the nation of Israel. You say, what's the point here? Here's the point. Moses has been discouraged, defeated, living in doubt. Lord gave him grace, spoke to him, encouraged him. His bubbles burst again. They don't want anything to do with him. Then something amazing happened. God said, okay, go back into Pharaoh. And go back to the nation of Israel. Here's the point. When he was living in doubt, God gave him something to do. God gave him another command. And here's what I'm saying. The point is, when you find yourself asking why, live by God's commands. You know, many times when people are living in doubt, disbelief, discouragement, despair, they stop obeying the Lord. This is one of the worst things you can do during these times. One of the greatest things you can do during these times of doubt is go to God's Word and do whatever He tells you to do. Just keep obeying the Lord. Keep obeying God. Why? Because God sees the end. We only see what's in front of us right now. Keep obeying God. Now, I'm coming to a close here. Moses has been brought to the end of himself. Life has thrown him a curveball to the point that he finds himself asking God, why? In this, we see that during these times, we're to listen to God's Word, learn a valuable lesson, that the circumstance may not change, live by God's commands. Let me close by giving you a story, okay? Now, don't you close because I said let me close, okay? Don't you close mentally. I'm telling a story directly here. The remarkable pilgrimage of English poet William Cowper comes to mind whenever this person who tells a story says, whenever I think of a man coming to the end of his rope. William Cowper found himself so deep in discouragement and despair that he tried to put an end to it all by drinking poison. But God graciously led somebody to find him, and his stomach was pumped and he was delivered. As soon as he recovered, this despairing writer hired a coach to take him down to the river where he intended to plunge himself into the dark swirling waters, but the driver of the coach would have none of this, and he restrained Cowper and got him back into the coach and drove him home. Frustrated with this second attempt to kill himself, he found a knife in the privacy of his home, and he attempted to fall on it, but wouldn't you know it, the blade broke. Still not deterred, he rigged up a rope in the basement and put his neck in the noose, and he dropped into thin air, but somebody just happened to find him in time before he strangled to death and took him down. Folks, he couldn't even kill himself. Discouraged. Finally, in the depth of sorrow, the story goes he drove himself to the book of Romans. In the pages of that book of Romans, he found a passage which brought him to his knees and faith in Jesus Christ. Years later, as a mature man, he penned these words. Maybe you know them. It's a hymn, and it goes like this. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. I wonder this morning, as I said, I'm coming to a close there. Forgive me, I'm going a little bit over here. Are you at your wit's end? Are you discouraged? Are you doubting God? Has life thrown a curveball to the point that all you can do is find yourself asking why? Let this preacher encourage you. Don't give up. Go to God's Word. Let Him show you who He is, what He's done, what He will do. And keep on obeying God's commands, realizing your circumstances may not get any better. However, you can still live in peace and above the despair and doubt. that the circumstances try to plunge you down in. God told Moses, go now to Pharaoh. And in a nutshell, what God is saying is, while you're doubting, while you're depressed, while you're discouraged, go on for God. Don't stop. Because there's a brighter day ahead. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we do that? Father, we love you today. Thank you for the privilege to pray. Thank you, Lord, for how you've spoken to our hearts. And I pray for this invitation time that you will bless it, that you will speak to us, that you'll anoint it, that you will challenge us through your word. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I want to start where God would have me to start, and that is, are you, as an individual, are you 100% sure you are going to heaven? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? If you don't, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. In just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible, a lady with a lady, a man with a man, and we'll share the gospel with you. And today, you can become a child of God. Or maybe today God's speaking to you because there's a situation in your life and you catch yourself asking, why? Have you be honest and say, Jody, I'm living in a situation right now. Now, maybe you're living in victory over it, but you say you're living in a situation right now that either had you asking why or you are currently asking why. Let me be honest with God. Watch you say, I'm living in something like that right now that either has caused me to ask why or is caused me right now. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. Well, look at all them hands. I'm the only one looking. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it, but I want you to listen to me closely. I hope you understand what I'm preaching. I am not preaching that if you go to God's word and let him speak to your heart that he's going to change your circumstance. He didn't do that for Moses right off the bat. He didn't do it for Paul at all with his thorns in the flesh. I'm not preaching that, hey, you need to come forward just so God will change your circumstance. I'm not preaching that. I am preaching this. You do need to come and say, God, while I'm asking why, help me trust your word. Help me go to your word and hear you speak to me. And may I take comfort in it, realize that it may not change my circumstance, but realizing that you can if you so choose. And if you do or if you don't, I just want to come and say, God, take the why out of me. Take the question mark and put an exclamation point. Take the question out of my heart. Help me just to trust. And whatever you choose to do with the circumstance, help me just believe. Rest. And may I get busy in the things of God. Don't quit when you doubt. Do something for God when you doubt. Get busy for God. God, encourage your heart. That's what I'm preaching. I'm not preaching your circumstance will change, but I'm preaching that your heart can. You can leave today with your heart having a smile on it, even if your face is crushed, even if your heart is crushed and broken, God can put it back together and say, listen, through it all, trust me. I can take care of you. May the Lord help you. May you respond. Come to God. Come to God. Let's all stand if you're able and willing, if you'll stand with me. Father, take it, use it in a mighty way. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Not going to have any singing. But as they play right now, if God is speaking to your heart, would you leave your place? Would you come? Now's your time. Come now, please. If you need to be saved, or if you're asking why, whatever it is, you come. Talk to the Lord. Ask God to help you. Take the question mark away, God. Give me an exclamation point. Help me not to ask why. Help me to trust. Help me to believe. Help me to rely upon you. Help me to go to your word. Help me to be faithful in doing the will of God. Help me to be faithful obeying the commands of God.
whatever it is. May the Lord help you. May God help you today. Standing, you can look this way. Let me give you a few reminders. Be back tonight if you can, 6:30 in the service. Choir practice tonight is 6:15. 6:15, choir practice. Your children, if they want to be in the Parade of Nations, need to sign up. That's the opening thing we're going to be doing for the mission conference. And if our folks will sign up for the Feast of Nations, this is next Sunday night after the service. Like to have a church-wide fellowship where we all go over to the gymnasium. Our folks are bringing, that would be you, are bringing foods from different parts of the world. A great place to find that would be Walmart, okay, and things like that. If you'll bring different foods, it'll be a good time of fellowship. We do need you to sign up for that if you don't mind to do it, if you haven't already done that. And the ushers have these little reminders about our mission conference. As you leave today, the ushers should have these. Just a reminder, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, 7 o'clock, all day Sunday, faith promise. That'll be good, okay? I'm going to ask Brother Eugene Radford, sir, if you'll dismiss us in prayer.